Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to Ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We got one of your favorites, your childhood favorites, in the house today. We got Mr. Jaleel White. How are you, Jaleel? It's been a while, man.
What's up, dude? No, we got our mutual friend, Bert Marcus.
Yes.
He's an amazing documentarian. How to Make Money Selling Drugs. Check out his doc.
Yes. How to Make Money Selling Drugs was his. That Instagram doc was also his.
Yeah, that was dope.
Which was amazing as well. I did a feature film for him in 2008, and he was one of those young hustling dudes that you meet in Hollywood that you can tell is going places where you're like, ah, shit, he'll figure it out and make it work. The only other one I met like him along the way was a guy named Jason Blum, who obviously owns Blumhouse. I did a movie, I think his first movie for him back in the day, and now he's gone on to do 9,000 horror films that are worth billions of dollars. And Bert put us together, and you had written a script. You're a very talented writer, and we had met about it. And one of the first things he said was, hey man, you know, he's not just Urkel from Family Matters. Like, he's an awesome dude. And, like, when I walked into the bar, it's a true story.
It seems weird that you would even have to, like, of course he's not. That character doesn't exist in real life.
But people, you know, in real life, people treat are dumb you as like shit. That. People are dumb as shit. Yeah. So, like, I walked into the bar, and I see this good-looking dude sitting at the bar, and I'm like, I did double take, and I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I think that's Jaleel White, right? Like,
yeah, he didn't know. He was actually trying to pick you up. He didn't know you were the guy he was supposed to meet for the first half hour of the interview.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, that dude's he's got to be a poon slayer. So, has to be. Are you married now?
Everybody's got to calm down. Everybody's got to calm down.
Are you married
I'm
now?
I'm L.A. born and raised, man. You know, I'm proud of that. You know, when you grow up in L.A. the way I have, you get a chance to see a lot of walks of life, a lot of different people come and go. People like myself and our buddy Bert that we're mentioning here, you know, we're this is our home. You know, we've been here for all our lives, 30, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? So you just sometimes people have big wide-eyed dreams of L.A. and we like, uh-oh, we know where that's headed.
Yeah, every single time.
Yeah, you're going to end up working at a restaurant until you're 45 years old.
Exactly. Living in a one-bedroom in Van Nuys trying to figure it out.
Roommates.
Yeah. And right before the show, we were talking about it because, you know, we have another mutual friend, Christine Lakin, who starred on Step by Step. And she's one of my best friends in real life. She's been on the show numerous times. And then Ross Patterson Revolution as well. And she would always talk about the transition from being a child star to growing up and then continuing your career in the industry. And
yeah, she went through it.
Yeah. I would have to imagine it's the same way. She had a really good attitude about it where she was just like, you know what, man, I was amped about it and she came out of it normal. So did you. I think at least, but it's hard for a lot of people.
I'm only wearing a hoodie because I'm having a bad hair day. That's it. It's not a cool guy thing. It's very slavey under here right now, and I don't feel like combing my hair.
Did you say slavey?
Slavey. I like slavey. That.
I've never heard that phrase before.
It's very Django-ish, my hair right now. It's very Django-ish. They didn't hand out too many brushes and combs on the plantations back then, bro.
No, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, it seemed like that was a bad deal.
Yeah.
It was a completely effing bad deal that we tried to resurrect with this election, and thank God it just got shut down.
Look, we have a lot of listeners that go both ways on that with the election.
They're only going to go to one way today. They're going to take that L and they're going to hold it.
We'll see. There could be a recount. Who knows?
Who knows? You can recount these, baby. They can take it away from them states they want.
Well, we can get into politics if you want.
Civility is making a comeback. Well, civility is making it come back.
Let me ask you this. This is a serious question because we don't have a lot of people from that are lifelong LA residents, right?
Yeah.
And LA sucks right now, and it's mostly because of the leadership there. And that leadership.
Oh, yeah.
They're all kind of on one side of the political aisle. So I wonder, from your perspective, what the fuck is happening in Los Angeles?
Do you think that when you drive the streets, because I lived there for 18 years, and like, dude, when I was there, I loved L.A. Like, I'm not one of those people who shit on L.A., and I was like, man, I loved it. And there was a good 10 to 12 year stretch where it was really clean and nice, and the transportation system was great.
L.A. from like 90 to like 2002. Like shit.
Probably,
it was like when USC got popped with all of its football allegations. That's when it started going down.
Yeah,
right?
Reggie Bush and all his bullshit.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Reggie Bush and all his bullshit. But
more
importantly, we hadn't been there in a while, and like the homelessness has gotten so crazy.
Oh my gosh, it's terrible, man. Every freeway underpass. Mm. I mean, even the Veterans Memorial, the tents were lined up outside of it over in the Westwood area. And now they just opened the damn thing up and just said, here, come on in. And now it's just turned into this whole park situation. It's really, 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 really sad. And what's really bad about L.A. is that we've become comfortable driving past tragedy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean,
that's what's really unfortunate.
It's weird. I mean, you
feel me on that? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like people are just getting too comfortable just driving past and ignoring tragedy.
Right. Yeah.
Right next to it.
It's not great, but I mean, look, that's just kind of the way it happens here in America. We want iPhones in hot pockets.
Yep.
And if we got those things, we usually ignore everybody else's problems.
There you go.
Typically.
There you go.
That is ubiquitous throughout the political landscape.
Hold on, that was a huge word. Buddy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Look that one up. There you go.
Let's go ahead and
you and then ubiquitous
for our listeners.
Ubiquitous after that.
It's pervasive.
Make sure I get the definition right.
Yep. There it is. I felt like this
found everywhere.
There you go.
Appearing or present everywhere.
There you go. Okay.
No, but I felt like this, like after COVID, man, I felt like the homelessness took over because now it's creeping up into Hollywood. I don't know where you live at. Are you in Hollywood?
I'm West Sider.
West Sider. Okay, cool. Because in Hollywood, you know, Dan and I were just shooting there in July. And I mean, it's crept up all the way in the hills. Like
that's bad. It's really, really bad.
Well, I mean, it's even the hills is one thing, right? But when you see like camps on Vine, all the way up Vine. I never thought I would see something like that.
I didn't.
You know what I mean? That's like going to the Chelsea Piers in New York and seeing homeless people everywhere or something. Like those areas are typically blocked up. But I guess there's no real tourism happening right now. So what would the impetus be to keep that clean? Half of those fucking businesses are closed right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And somebody asked me this. I was on somebody else's podcast last week, and they asked me, they were like, what was it like growing up in Atlanta? Because I'm from Atlanta originally. And I was like, you know, it's weird. Atlanta changed as a city when the Olympics came in 96, right? Because I was a kid growing up there, and they had cleaned up the entire city, transportation, all that stuff, because they were worried about the world coming in and thinking that America, and Atlanta in particular, was a shithole to live in. My best guess for L.A., is that it won't get cleaned up entirely until the Olympics come in 2028. What do you think about that?
Is it 2024 or 2028?
Shit, is it only 4 years away? This year has lasted so long.
I think it's 2028. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, 2028?
Yeah.
It's got about 7 or 8 years, and everybody will wait to the last minute on that. What are your thoughts as a lifelong Angeleno there?
I mean, look, I don't think this is a necessarily a political issue at all, because a lot of the politics associated with the governance in LA are not even consistent. I mean, technically, we're probably the most conservative behaving place in all of COVID, like in the country. You know, our kids aren't back in school. Our sports leagues are shut down. Mm. I'm talking about like just local, like my daughter and stuff like that. You know, the COVID measures for protection are higher than any place else. I don't think any of that crap has to do with whether or not you're freaking Republican or Democrat.
No, of course not. Well, I mean,
we have some freaking libtard paranoia out here, to be quite honest.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. But just I think we all know how to protect ourselves, you know, at this point. You know, when I'm in public, I wear a mask, especially if I'm indoors. I pretty much do it as a courtesy to everybody else.
Right.
But if I'm at a house where we all feel comfortable, then, you know, we just limit our touching and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Right. So no orgies from Jaleel White is what he's saying.
We're not knocking them off two at a time right now. I'm into some heavy one-on-one action right now with one particular person.
Well, that's good.
You know, COVID boo is important. You got to have COVID boo.
Yes.
And I got a good COVID boo right now.
It's like cuffing season.
It's like cuffing season. Yeah.
Same deal.
But it's deeper because it's like, where have you been?
It's true. Let me
feel like the conversation just started now. Everything else we said before, just get rid, just dump that crap.
This is now the
conversation got started. We talk about COVID boo.
Dump it. Yeah. Let me ask you this: like acting wise, most of production is shut down and everything else. Are you worried about any of that? As far as like, you know, the roles coming back or just movie theaters in general coming back?
Man, the loss of movie theaters has been huge. Mm. Huge.
It's about the same as the loss of DVDs back in the day, right? That was a big revenue dump for a lot of people that were in the industry.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But I've been fortunate to act about 3 or 4 times since July. I filmed in Philadelphia. I filmed in Georgia. I filmed locally here. So they've been sending COVID people to my house, you know, shoving the Q-tip up my nose since July. And the only difference is when you're on set acting now is you just have these people in flak jackets that are always reminding you of social distancing. And they literally make you wear your mask during rehearsal, and you only take it off between action and cut, which I think is absolutely silly. But again, you have to abide.
Right. Well, I mean, it's for insurance, right? Getting a film insured in the fucking first place is a pain in the ass.
Right.
And getting it insured these days has got to be way worse.
Yeah, because I had a show that was supposed to shoot in the summer in July, and they could not figure out a way around the COVID procedures, and it got pushed. And they were looking to shoot next March, and I was like, no, that's too long. But going forward, Regal is shut down their cinemas. Movies, not only are you not able to go to theaters currently in Los Angeles and New York and the big places that traditionally bring in that type of money for a box office, but they don't have any product to put in the movies, even if the theaters were open, because every studio is holding it back.
Yeah.
Is this the end of movie theaters?
Man, I don't even want to answer that, man. That's such a scary thought. Mm. I think, I had already begun upgrading myself to the, my daughter, when she go to the movies, she's like, Daddy, are we going to the ones where the seats go all the way back?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I feel like the higher end movie theaters will be the first to return because they're already naturally a lot more distanced. But as far as, a theater situation where people are sharing an arm bar, almost like in a Broadway situation, though, a traditional theater, I don't know. Like, it's all about insurance.
Yeah.
The funniest part about it, the saddest really part about the whole COVID stuff is it's more about insurance than it is about anybody actually caring if somebody catches it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a cover your ass type situation that everybody's on right now. And I understand it, I guess, in some ways from some of the local and statewide leadership in a lot of these states that have shut down. But man, we got to get our shit together. You're right when you say it's not necessarily a political issue, but it's certainly been made one. You know what I mean?
I don't really care who anybody voted for. I feel sad if you don't feel a responsibility to denounce racism. I definitely feel sad about that.
Well, who's not denounced racism? What are you talking about there?
Well, you know damn well what I'm talking about there. Mr. Cheeto refuses to denounce racism and white supremacy.
Come on, dude. There's literally, after that, that was a thing for a week, and then somebody put out a video of him 25 times.
It's not a thing for nothing, man. It's real simple. I mean, I'm dead serious, dog. You're not going to let somebody drive a car through Charlottesville and just be like, well, those were, very fine people on both sides. Fuck that.
What
like,
did
come
you,
on,
did you Did you watch the entire video? Because right afterwards, he did.
Yeah,
he,
I've watched the entire video.
Okay, because like 10 seconds after what you just quoted, he said that all these white supremacists can get fucked, basically. So in the same video that you're referencing,
I haven't seen that quote. I would love to see that quote.
Yeah, sure. You can look it up on YouTube. I think that's one of those things that's been leveraged to polarize something that wasn't necessarily a good idea to polarize. Anytime anybody's trying to intentionally divide people, that's not a good thing.
Exactly.
Not a big fan of that.
And on both sides. Like, I just think there's issues and everything on both sides that everybody was using for the election and all that stuff. But
I mean, if you're the president, you got to be more careful about what you say and how you say things. But there is literally this.
Thank you. Do you really feel like my man exercised civility in his speeches to the country?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm a Trump guy, right? I like his policies. I did not like the way he's not an eloquent speaker like Obama, obviously. I don't like the way he used Twitter.
He's not very thoughtful either. It's like you're being president.
Those are important. Those are all important character issue things you guys are bringing
up. Yeah, for sure. I mean, but look, on the other side of that issue, you can say that Biden is more polished and he's nicer when he speaks, but he's the one that wrote the goddamn crime bill that put 3.5 black men in prison. Right. So.
Once again, I'm not even going to pick sides from that standpoint, but I'm going to use analogies that could possibly be funny for people actually listening to us. But it's like, saying you got a great school principal who's, we love all of his policies, but every morning he thinks it's okay to greet the kids. How are your kids fucking doing this morning? Okay. It's like, that's a breaking point. I'm sorry. I don't care how good of a principal he is. Mm-hmm. He can't stand at the flag every morning and say, "How are you kids fucking doing every morning?"
No, for sure. And if to be honest, if he measured the things he said more, We wouldn't be having this conversation because he would
exactly.
he would have been reelected.
It's true.
Right? No, look, it's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, so what we're talking about is not even. And I love that. You know, I hope your viewers get that and your listeners get that from me. I'm like, this is not a political issue. This became a character issue.
Mm. That's true.
We cannot have leadership in this country that stokes the flames of hate. We can't do it.
I don't know if I necessarily agree that he stokes the flame. He is careless, and maybe there's that.
Man,
that happens.
We playing word games, Dad. Come on, bro. Careless, stoking the flames. We getting into some real semantic territory.
Well, the word games are necessary because they're trying to flesh out exactly what's happening here. And the reason I say that is because you operate under this premise that he doesn't denounce racism. There's a video that I'm looking at right now, 25 instances over the last 20 years where he literally said what you're asking him to say. Like over and over and over again. Now, sure, he's careless with the way he speaks. There's no question about that.
Right.
I call him an idiot all the time, and I'm not a fan of him.
Because Dan's not a Trump guy, by the way.
No, I'm not. Not at all. Like,
he's not a Trump guy at all.
So. No, but we have to be honest about what's actually happening here. You're talking about stoking the flames. People, the media and liberal politicians constantly referring to this guy as a racist and making him have to defend himself, despite the fact that most of his policies have been very beneficial to Black America, right?
Yeah.
Economically, the First Step Act, all this other stuff.
Lowest unemployment rate.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, just from being in the military, I guess, maybe I'm jaded. Not jaded, but I'm used to people being dicks. So that part doesn't bother me. But I do understand why it bothers other people. And it's really stupid, too. Like, if you've got the right answers, and it seems like he had a lot of them because the policies worked, but you lose because you can't keep your fucking mouth shut, That's a bad look.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Every guy in every relationship.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, that's really fucking stupid.
Seriously, dog. I mean, look, you could be the most well-intentioned guy with a relationship with a woman. Well-intentioned. If your tone is off, you're losing her.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So all these Republicans are pissed off right now, I'm sure. A lot of them think there's some voter fraud issues and blah, blah, blah. Maybe there is. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. But we as Americans have no one to blame but Trump for losing that election. If you wanted him to win, you don't have to blame Democrats. You don't have to blame the media. You just blame yourself. Blame him for not holding his feet to the fire and him not fucking keeping his mouth shut. That's what really happened. I mean, honestly, if you like, Republicans took way more seats in the House than they were expected to. They're holding on to the Senate, and everything else worked out for Republicans except for him.
Yeah.
So that's a symptom, probably. I mean, look, there may be some fraud here and there, but that's a symptom of him being a cunt.
Yeah.
To be honest.
And I think that's why you've seen, like, we haven't seen him in the last few days, and that's very rare, obviously.
He's been playing golf, yeah.
Yeah. It is one of those things where, I think if he was a more eloquent speaker and everything else, he probably would have gotten reelected. But
I don't even think it's about eloquent, man. It's just about basic fucking civility. It's that I don't even want to talk about policies. Come on, you guys, we're too cool. We're too cool for that. Let the other people debate that stuff who actually have more knowledge of the individual policies. As a father who sits on a couch next to an 11-year-old girl, and she says to me, Daddy, why does he keep cutting her off? Why won't he let her speak? Why is he so rude? Why is he so this? This is an 11-year-old's observations. I'm like, I just want to deal with it at the character level. And then everybody else who thinks they're an expert about policies and where things are going to go and voting, you guys go argue that stuff. You know, there's always going to be some policy out there, to be quite honest, that affects our lives that we're not going to be in favor of. Mm. You know, Dave Chappelle's got the funniest joke in the world about money, where he was just like, you know, he was so excited Obama got in office, but he was like, damn, I just made my money and now you're taking it.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, so you're not going to get anybody as more authentically Black than Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
and he admits that he's like, crap, I paid all this freaking money because of Obama.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's coming again. You're in LA. Your marginal tax rate is about to go up to about 60%, 58%.
I know. Everybody keeps talking about this thing, and we'll deal with it when we get there. I don't want to deal in hypotheticals. My therapist is telling me, stop dealing in hypotheticals. deal with what is the reality for you today.
See, my therapist keeps giving me hallucinogens, which I think is the opposite. Yeah.
Well, I got another therapist too, and he just gives me really, really good pre-rolls. But that's a different therapist.
Now you're speaking our producer's language. That's
you're speaking my language because I smoke all goddamn day. But
we've been talking about all the wrong stuff, man. Yeah. I can't erase everything we just said, and now let's start the podcast.
Why does he keep trying to start the show over? Jesus Christ. Have you tried any of the ketamine clinics out there? They're all over the place now.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Have you experimented in any of that?
Nah, man. I'm pretty much straight cannabis. I don't like doing too much other than that. But I like a high quality. I like a high grade. You know what I'm saying? Like a good wedding cake. A good
cake at home.
Maybe
good.
Some biscotti or motor bread. I'm a flavor chaser.
Mm. Ah. Yeah, there's wedding cake is a good one actually. A lot of those flavors, they just don't taste like anything really.
Yeah, but it's a good sell.
Like Gary,
when you walk in.
Nobody makes a good Purple Urkel. I'm annoyed by that. Nobody makes a good Purple Urkel.
Is that your Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor? Did they ever make that? What happened?
Yeah, did they?
No, they never did. That's it's a strain that everybody knows. Purple Urkel out Nobody's made a good one.
No, not. And you always see it, but you're right. They've never made a good strain of it. The reason why he was asking you about the tax rate and everything is everybody's leaving LA. Yeah. There's a mass exodus to where we are actually in Austin, Texas. It seems like everybody's going to Austin or Nashville for some reason.
I like Austin. I'm going to come out there and go drink with you guys.
Yeah,
I
dude.
Like
let's do it.
It's a blast.
It's fun.
It's a great town.
I've been there. It's lawlessness what you guys got going on. The people just pass out on the streets and the guys on horses just trot by. It's an amazing thing to see up close.
Yeah, they still have the horses, by the way.
It is. Yeah, it's a very interesting city for that reason. It's like the stay weird attitude, which is the motto here, right? Mm-hmm. Is I think a symptom of how goddamn wild it is when you get a bunch of young liberal people that still share a lot of the conservative values like gun ownership and libertarian values like I want my drugs and I want you to fucking mind your own business and stuff like that. It's a really interesting confluence of people here.
Yeah. I think Austin might be the most, in my opinion, American city.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah,
yeah, it is definitely 50-50
like it represents everybody
here,
for sure.
Yeah. Everybody's here and everybody's welcome. And those cops are still on horseback, by the way. That never changed.
But even policy wise, you know what I'm saying? You handle drinking, how you handle socializing, how you handle football, how you handle lake life.
Yeah.
Like just in your businesses, you know, you guys really go out of your way to support local business. Mm. When I was there, I was blown away by the names of businesses. It was like Ruby's Barbecue and Dan's Hardware. It was wild. Yeah. It was like there was no Home Depot. You know, there was no.
No, I just watched a Netflix doc last night on an 85-year-old grandmother who cooks barbecue. If you want to get high and watch that, it's a whole Netflix series.
Wait, she lives
barbecue.
Here?
Yes.
Let's just find out where she lives and go to her house.
I tried. So last night.
I'll find her. What's her goddamn name?
The series is called Chef's Table, and it's all it's all barbecue. So this season is all barbecue joints all over the U.S., and the one that was from Texas was an 85-year-old woman named Tootsie, and she was a janitor. And then her husband ended up dying. She opened up a barbecue shop. So she uses her mop from being a janitor and puts the barbecue sauce on the ribs and everything else. Hopefully it's clean, but you know, you never know, obviously. They've been selling out for years and years and years. And she's become like a celebrity here. She's 85 years old. They had to shut down for COVID, but you're right. Like
Tootsie Tomanets.
And the name of the barbecue place is called Roses, by the way.
That's important.
Yes.
Well, I just want to go.
Write that down, everybody. Roses.
Roses.
I'm just going to go to her house, dude. Fuck all this.
Yeah, right? You're right. Everything in Texas is still like that, where it's kind of one name. You know it. And then the other locals have their own favorite places, but it's also somebody else by one name, where it's like, hey, man, go to that other place with one name. Yeah. It's great.
This isn't a place where you come open up a bunch of chain restaurants. I mean, there are chain restaurants here, obviously, because you have to have them here.
Yeah.
But I doubt their market share is as high here as it is anywhere else in the country. It's probably way lower, right? Yeah. Like people don't go to Ruth's Chris here. It's Texas. You can throw a fucking rock in any direction and hit a fucking cow.
Yeah, it's like going to an Olive Garden in Times Square. You're just not going to do that.
It'll never happen. And that's what I love about this shit, because we meet with all these restaurateurs. I don't know what the word is, restaurateurs. Yeah. And bar owners and shit, and they run the entire gamut of life experience, political beliefs, like race and culture, all this stuff. It's very interesting to see that, Because you, when you think Texas barbecue, you think like, oh, it's some fucking dude with a big belt buckle, you know, standing over a smoker. But no, it's like some fucking gay Asian hipster that's 22 years old that figured out some new recipe and now he's got a great fucking restaurant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we've had a few of them on the show.
Yeah, I'd love that shit. I guess just back to your point, this might be the most American city that exists right now, at least right now.
I wasn't blowing smoke. That was my assessment when I went there. I was like, wow, just from policies to food to governance to interaction to even racial mix. I was like, this is the most American city there is, Austin, Texas.
Yeah, it's a blast. Are you, so would you ever leave or no? Are you there for life, you think?
For LA? Mm-hmm. You know,
and you've
it's
been
weird.
There a while.
I'm going to have there's going to be something that speaks to me that tells me when it's time to leave LA.
Right.
But because I have an 11-year-old daughter, she's very much here going to school. And, you know, I just, there's something here that makes sense for me to be here still. And I really am a proud Angeleno. Like, I love my city. I love LA. You know, the Dodgers just won. Lakers just won. We didn't get a parade. Wow. What an amazing phenomenon and no parade for either.
I know, man. I saw today online that there was, because we host a huge sports show as well. I saw online that they were going to do a virtual parade. Did you hear about this for the Lakers?
I didn't hear anything about this.
What does that mean?
That would be interesting.
I didn't either. And when I saw it, I was like, dude, is this where we're headed? Like, you work your entire career to win a championship, and now it's going to be online with people. I mean, look, I guess it's happened in the music industry and all that other stuff with Grammys and everything else this year, but for that, man, damn, like, dude, especially LA, because having lived there for so long, like, dude, people have waited since 88 for the Dodgers to win.
Yeah. And especially the last,
Justin Turner got shamed for jumping out there with his COVID self, and I love Justin, but I'm like, you know, I'm not even mad at him. I'm like, you earned this, man. Jump on that field. Just stay 6 feet away.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Same, yeah. And then the Lakers, man.
They should have just hired Michael Bay to CGI the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just make a movie called LA Parade and fucking have, you know, just make fake parades.
And then
why not
show that on
Then
TV.
There's huge explosions in the background.
Yeah, put everybody on green screen and have Bruce Willis come in with an RPG.
$300 million budget.
Yes, easily. For the Lakers?
Yeah.
Are you obviously, being from Los Angeles, are you a diehard Lakers, Dodgers fan?
Definitely a Laker fan, even bigger Dodger fan.
All right. Well, hey, I want to put your feet to the fire then on LeBron James. Greatest of all time, yes or no? There's been a lot of debate about that recently. I am a diehard Kobe guy. I still have Jordan 1, Kobe 2, and I've got LeBron at 3. Where are you at in that?
I'm not going to disagree with that order.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to disagree with that order. I think I kind of get annoyed by the ordering in general, though, only because the rules have changed so much in basketball. You know, they're allowing traveling now. You know, you can't hand check. There's, you know, you're scoring 200 points in all-star games. It's you know, I'm always going to give a special edge to guys like Magic and Mike and Bird because of the sheer physicality that they had to endure every night.
Right.
And without modern technology, without all this private jet stuff, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, these dudes were literally like smoking cigarettes at LAX waiting on their flight.
Yeah.
And then, and it's like, you had a fight with Bill Laimbeer. It was a technical. You didn't even get thrown out of the game.
Exactly.
You lived to fight to the second technical.
Yeah. What's that guy? Who's that guy from the Lakers that had the glasses? He's the coach.
Rambis.
Rambis.
Man, that dude, I just want to see him fight people. I don't care what else he does in life.
Dirty Curdy.
Don't you remember that famous clothesline? Like when he got clothesline, that famous clothesline, they're playing Boston. It's just like, that's like a freaking hockey play, man. Yeah. I'm like, you know, this modern generation can't even relate to that level of physicality going through the Detroit Bad Boys to win a championship. So, you know, I'm not saying that LeBron couldn't have done it. I mean, obviously he's a tank.
Yeah, he is.
But the fact of the matter is, it's just, that's not the era that he played in. And I'm always going to give an extra, you know, a little bit of respect for the guys who did it in the short shorts.
Well, I think there's a pretty good argument to be made that LeBron James is the best athlete in American history.
I say athlete. Yeah. I could put him up top five greatest athletes. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget about a lot of other people out there, Jackie Robinsons and stuff like that, who did this in multiple sports. A person a lot of people like to forget and don't, you know, because he got injured too soon, was Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson.
There was actually a time where technically Bo Jackson was bigger than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I remember they both had buildings on the Nike campus.
Yeah.
And Bo was the Bo Knows. He was the two-sport guy. Remember that?
Yeah, he's, I mean, You got to put Bo Jackson there. You probably got to put, from this era, I would say LeBron James and probably Mike Trout. And but that's pretty much all I can think of from this era that would even qualify. But I mean, Jordan's got to be in there. His athletic ability, his mental toughness is why he won 6 championships. But his athletic ability, everybody forgets about that sometimes.
Yeah.
Go back and watch those games in the early 80s where he's jumping like fucking from the free throw line and dunking on people and shit. It's incredible to see how that guy can
Phil Jackson had a really great determinant between Kobe and Jordan. He said Jordan had bigger hands and he was also physically stronger than Kobe. And he was like, if I have to choose between the two players, I just understand the difference between somebody having bigger hands, being able to manipulate the ball.
Right.
And then also I'm going to take the stronger man. Mm. And so that, you know, look, you're not going to get a more up close opinion than Phil Jackson. You guys are going to laugh at me, but this is my life these days. Yes, Mom. No, I can't hold, Mom. I'm on a podcast.
We're leaving this all in, by the way.
Yeah, we're leaving this in, Jaleel. You know that, right? It happened to me as well. My son stuck his hand under the door when I was on the podcast.
Do they have to be spoken to right now, or can they take a message and be called back? You're embarrassing the living crap out of me, but it's okay. It's kind of the theme for my life.
I'm sorry, Miss Helen, trying to handle some of your other business.
All right, bye, Mom. So as you can see, Zoom school is not working out.
No. I'm the same. I was on a podcast. My 6-year-old son stuck his hand underneath the door in the background of a shot and was wiggling his fingers and was live on you. It was live on YouTube. And everybody was like, hey, man, I think you should tell your wife to turn around. There is a man's hand underneath the door wiggling his fingers. And I was like, we had to stop the show. I mean, we left it in, obviously, but we had to stop it. And he's just back there waving and like, dude, they have no idea. Our kids have no idea. None. None. Back to the Kobe and Jordan.
Oh, you know what? I was wrong, actually. Michael Phelps. You have to throw him in there, too.
Yeah, Michael Phelps is great. Absolutely.
From this general area.
Yeah. But back to that Kobe and Jordan arguments. Even Kobe, one of his last interviews, had said, hey, man, I took everything from Michael. If there's no Michael, there's no me. So he still has Jordan as one.
That rubs me the wrong way with LeBron because he won't say that.
Right.
Like, he gets butthurt when people are like, don't consider him the GOAT. Like, just being in the conversation, considering what Jaleel's talking about right now, and the fact that there are different styles of play and blah blah blah, different eras, different rules, you're never going to be able to get a definitive answer. There's no metric for who's the greatest, obviously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a culmination of numbers that you can make arguments for and stuff like that, but ultimately, if you're in that conversation, that means, at least in your generation, you're definitely the best. Right. So that should probably be good enough.
Yeah,
I
think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but again, we're also living in this era now where people put such an emphasis on relevance instead of legacy.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe the reason why LeBron feels that way is just it's a byproduct of the society that we live in today that continues to make these top five, top three lists over and over and over again every week.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You know, it can become an annoyance after a while.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, man, I enjoy watching him play, to be honest. I do wonder how he would have looked in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah, I do, man. I really do. The thing that makes LeBron unique, though, is, you know, there are not too many people that can bother LeBron psychologically. And I felt like Kawhi was the only guy that could really get under his skin psychologically.
Yep.
So as soon as I even saw the Clippers go out, I already knew. I was like, oh, Lakers are cruising.
Yeah.
Cruising to a championship.
Was it Steven Jackson that would blow in LeBron's ear and shit all the time? Was that him?
No, it was Lance Stevenson.
Oh, it was Lance Stevenson. That shit's so goddamn funny, dude.
It was the best.
That's that to me. Like, we had Sean Avery, the hockey player. He was an LA King back in the day, if you hockey.
He was on the show yesterday.
Yeah, we had him on yesterday, and he's one of those guys, too. Like, they had to create rules to stop him from fucking with people. Like, there's literal rules in the NHL now based on him fucking with
the
people.
I love that. Avery rule, yeah.
It's so funny. Lance Stevenson is a funny guy.
Yeah, he's one of the best. When you were talking about relevance and things lasting for a while, I think about your TV show, and I think why everybody still relates to you is Family Matters, man. I feel like that was one of the greatest Friday night shows for kids and families, and I think that's why that legacy has lasted so long, Yeah, to be honest with you, man. And, like, they just don't make enough shows like that anymore. Therefore, whenever it's on, people are still sitting down with their kids and rewatching it to this day.
Well, you know, one of the issues that you have with programming these days is that everything is niche. So it's not, you know, and there's no such thing as appointment television anymore, unless it's sports,
right?
Or a
some live event. Know, I, yeah,
we were that generation where we actually had to get home to see something at 8 o'clock or 8:30 because nobody could program the VCR. Right. That was the generation that I grew up.
It's still blinking 12:00. Like two years after the damn thing.
You can program it? Dan, don't tell me you can program it.
Well, I can, yeah, but like we never did.
We never did.
Exactly.
Why? What's the point?
If you left the house and you were going somewhere, you press record at like 6, right? And then the tape was 6 hours. You knew your program was going to get recorded somewhere during there, but you had to fast forward all the way through it to get to it.
It was a pain in the butt, man. It was a different era of life. And also there was less distraction. You know, the internet wasn't quite the internet yet. You know, I still come from the all right, I'm modem generation.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, with fewer distractions, people were able to congregate around the same things. And now with, you know, I half the time I don't even know what my daughter's looking at until I go look at her phone after she's gone to bed. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, what the heck is this? You know, it's just everybody's on their own devices going in their own different directions. And so you don't have to make things for everybody anymore.
Right.
That's why it's fun when something gets made for everybody. I remember I took her to see Jumanji 2, the sequel. And it was like, even as a movie, I thought that was for everybody. It was great. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I enjoyed watching it as an adult. The kids were digging it. And, you know, very few things play on both levels for the adults and the kids anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's why they're remaking a lot of things, like a lot of shows over and over again.
Well, they can't
figure
out how to do it again.
Full House and like, everything else, yeah.
What would you, obviously this takes years of work and blah, 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 but like if you were trying to think of an original idea right now that would appeal to most people, that is a tall order. I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the rise of independent media and niche media is at least in some way responsible for how divisive everything is now, because you're right, sitting everybody gathering together on a certain night of the week to watch a certain event together, there's a catharsis that happens there, right? Everybody kind of unloads all of their bullshit and just kind of exists together in the same spot.
Dan, listen, unless you're watching the Grammys or like I say you're watching a sporting event, you're just not going to get that level of family bonding. You're going to get resistance.
Yeah.
Literally, you're just going to get the kids or even an older person. It's like, I don't want to watch this. This is too long. What is this?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
right.
You just didn't even think that way. Like watching, I mean, I'm going to say a show that's been banned from the air, but for me, you know, Thursday nights watching the Cosby Show at 8 o'clock was just such a staple in my life. Mm. It was so huge.
It was a staple in a lot of people's lives.
Trying to negotiate with my mom to just stay up and watch A Different World a half hour later, which is like it was a thing. And family ties, I'd be trying to sneak and keep my TV on and the sound down to watch my Michael J. Fox. And yeah, it was just a different time, man. Different time.
And they used to grind out hits too. I mean, shit. Cosby Show, 227.
Oh man, I'm so proud of you as a white man for saying 227.
You're welcome.
I'm so proud of you, dog.
Isn't that Florence something or other? What's her name? what was her
I'm
name?
Talking about the Jeffersons.
Oh no, I'm talking about Jeffersons. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the Jeffersons.
It was Marla Gibbs. Marla Gibbs was in both.
I grew up in Atlanta, so my life, because TBS was still TBS back then, but it was a local station, not a global station.
Right.
And so the only things that would show over and over again were like, 227 would show over and over again.
Oh
the
shit,
Jeffersons.
Regina King was in that. I didn't realize she was that old.
Yeah, dude.
I forget about that.
Regina King still looks identical to this day.
She looks like she hasn't aged a goddamn day.
At all, dude.
Holy shit.
At all. It's crazy.
Rich black don't crack.
I know. It really doesn't, dude. That's why you see all these white guys fucking tanning all the time. Like, that's the only way we can compete. Since you were famous, like, so young, did you get to meet a lot of that young talent in the 90s that was back then?
I met everyone.
Yeah, like I'm because like Lakin used to show me pictures of like all the people she was with, and it altered my mind. And I was like,
I met everyone.
Shit.
I met everyone. There's nobody I didn't meet. I met everybody.
Who was the best? Yeah, yeah. I was just going to ask you, do you have a Michael Jackson story?
Whatever. Met them all. I met Aaliyah on the sidewalk, on the streets.
Mm.
You know, I was like, wow, you're really cute. You know, in my mind, I have no shot. I have no shot. you know, she was standing next to her brother. She was awesome. You just like gazed at her.
Because you guys were the most famous people on the planet. That TGI Friday block, dude, at that time, and Thursday night and Friday night block,
Yeah.
I mean, you guys met everybody. Like,
met everybody. I almost played one-on-one basketball with Tupac, almost, on my lot, because he was shooting Poetic Justice on our lot. Movie. And at that time, John Singleton was just like a hero to any black kid that even thought they wanted to be in film. And yeah. John would invite me to the to editing room sometime. That's when they were still cutting film. You know, everything wasn't digital. There's nobody really, honestly, that I didn't meet. Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, whatever. Yeah, I remember Charlie Sheen being at the opening of a Planet Hollywood, and everybody was making such a fuss over my talking Mickey Mouse watch, and he took off his $50,000 Rolex and was like, here, let's switch.
No,
I think he'd been
shit.
Drinking a lot that evening.
Right. I don't think Charlie drinks, actually. That doesn't sound right. Let me check the in. Oh.
Yep, checking the internet. He definitely drinks and does a ton of cocaine. Did you keep the watch, or did he take it back?
You know, again, I didn't know what it was. He was being very serious at the time, but a friend of his came back, was like, "Come on, man, I got to get this watch back. Come on, I can't let Charlie do that." I was like, "All right." And then somebody came up and told me, was like, "You know, you always get that nerdy materialistic person. It's like, you know, that was a $50,000 Daytona."
Yeah. And you're like, "Dude, I have no idea." What was Michael Jackson like?
Michael was interesting. Michael was very, I always like to credit Michael as being the most self-aware entertainer of all time. He knew how famous he was. He knew how he affected people. He liked what he liked. Pretending to be a child every day was something that he did to escape reality, you know? And so when I met him, I just felt like he was almost drawing me into a conversation that was beneath my age. I met him backstage at the NAACP Image Awards, where I, matter of fact, won one of those things, that thing right there.
There it is. Show off. There it is.
And he was summoning all of the winners to his dressing room. And even that, it's pretty self-aware when you think about it, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm not going to go to a party and mingle with people and hope that I run into somebody. Mm. Just have all the winners just come by and greet me. Right. And there were like two kids in there that were dressed exactly like him, his lovely mother, Catherine, and like a whole bunch of comic books and action figures on the table. And we just had this discussion about comic books. And I'm like, I don't even read comic books, but if he wants to talk about comic books, I'm not going to change the subject because this is Michael Jackson. Mm.
Yeah. That's got to be strange, right? How old were you at the time?
I was probably about 14, somewhere 14 or 15. What else?
So when you were talking about having younger conversations, like he was trying to treat you like a little kid, and at 14,
Exactly. And the thing I don't want to get in trouble by saying this, but it was like Michael kind of like, you know, his interactions with kids was almost kind of like dating. So it's like when he met a new kid that he was more interested in, he kind of stepped off the old kid and started hanging out with the new kid. So forget about what you think took place. You know, that's your own personal opinion. But still, it's a little weird to have an adult take a liking to you and then all of a sudden they're just kind of off you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think he did that a lot. That's an unusual way to interact with minors.
So
it was like, I won't even lie, I was a little jealous because he gave me his phone number and he didn't call me back.
Yeah. Dude, that's the way we had another guest on the show and he said, dude, I'm upset I wasn't touched by Michael Jackson. Was I not good looking enough?
He hung out with my co-star, Brighton McClure, all the time. But again, Brighton, if you put a hat on him, looked like the spitting image of Michael Jackson at that age. So it was like, you know, I kind of felt some kind of way, like, well, am I too black and too tall, and am I too good at basketball? What? Why doesn't he want to hang out with me? And but he hung out. Brighton would come back every, you know, Monday on the set with these just awesome, you know, Neverland stories. And I'm like, damn, you know, I mean, technically, this shit ain't gonna be funny if I'm not funny on Friday night. But I mean, could Mike maybe hang out with me a little bit? I've had the conversation with Brian too, where I was like, you know, I was jealous of you, man, hanging out with Michael Jackson all those years. So I'm very at peace with this. It's a funny thing.
You should have grown the mullet like Brighton had back in the day.
That's what does it, man.
That's what does it.
My hair. My hair texture doesn't. It doesn't do that. It doesn't do that.
It doesn't.
My mullet goes up and
stands out, it must be flattened.
Look, man, over your career, I mean, you've gone on to do, like, goddamn it, your credits are endless, I feel like. You know,
and my IMDb definitely goes long.
I'm looking at 96 here, but I remember you playing Martin Luther King in Drunk History. How was that, working on Drunk History?
Yeah, man, I love that. See, I love the obscure stuff that you find.
Yeah.
Working with Derek Waters was great. He's created a show. You know, I always got a chance to interact with somebody that was just really fun. Retta from the show Good Girls. You know, she was in an episode that I did. I worked with Raven Simone on an episode. And that the episode you're talking about, I worked directly with Raven Simone. It was just a different discipline. You know, it was like it was the lip syncing thing before the lip syncing thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when I first got on set, I wasn't really ready for it. And what I would do eventually, I got smart about it quick, is I would put my lines on, I would record my lines and put them on my phone and as little voice recordings. And then I just walk around with AirPods, and then you would play them, and then you would just mouth the words, and you do it all day. That was the exercise. Wow.
That's smart. Yeah, I always wondered how they shot that. Because I saw the original sketch when it was on Funny or Die. And then obviously it moved on to Comedy Central and had a...
Yeah, you shoot it to playback. So they say action and they hit the playback and, you know, you lip sync it live.
It's almost like a music video. It's almost like shooting a music video then. Man, that's crazy. That's crazy. One of your credits here is Atlanta. I mean, dude.
That was funny.
That's a great show.
I didn't know. My lovely manager, he didn't know that... he thought that the real Justin Bieber was going to be in the episode.
Well, here's the thing. Did Donald Glover tell him any differently? Because I heard he just does a bunch of weird shit like that.
Yeah, it was like nobody understood the tone of the show. So my manager, he called me, Jaleel, you're doing an episode of Atlanta in 2 weeks. And your scenes are with Justin Bieber. I could tell he was so proud of himself that he got me scenes with Justin Bieber. And, I'm like, all right. And then I got to the set and I saw that a piece of tape over one of the honey wagons, and it said Justin Bieber. And I was like, oh, hell no. There's no way in the world that is Justin Bieber's dressing room. And then it was revealed to me in makeup and hair that Justin Bieber was actually a black kid from New York. So
so funny. So you didn't know the whole time.
Yeah. So I didn't get, I wasn't in on the inside joke that they had planned for us. And, I think my manager actually accepted the job on the premise that I was actually going to be working with Justin Bieber.
Wow. Dude, I always wonder about him, man, because look, Donald Glover's brilliant. That show is...
that first season is amazing. The Invisible Car and the club stuff. That first season is just fire, man. I mean, I'm happy I got a chance to get my nose in there on any of that surreal.
I know, man, because I'm... 3 and 4 is shot back to back, so those are coming out next year, which I'm amped about, because he took a couple years off. And
when you're rich, that's how you do it. You just take a couple years off.
Well, when you're rich, did you see his tweet the other night about it too?
What'd he say?
He said, I can promise you this. The only show that is better than this fucking show that's coming out is The Sopranos. And it was a bold statement to make. So he's amped about it. But I always wondered what it was like working with him and if you knew the full story going in, because some of that shit, when I watched it, I was like, man, I don't know if these people actually know what they're getting into or what he's telling them.
Yeah, I think Hero, that's his key director, his main director, and Donald had a vision for the show that they kept very close to the vest. You know, they didn't really reveal it to anybody. I mean, I didn't even fully understand what I was in until it came out. And, you know, he's a very quiet guy, actually. Donald, you know, I said what's up to him on set a couple of times, but he's a quiet dude. And matter of fact, I'm gonna answer this. This is my manager. Oh, hey, yeah. Chris, how's it going? I'm actually on a podcast right now.
Tell Chris thanks for getting him to work with Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
I know. So I have to get off soon and then click over? Okay. All right. Tell them I'm going to come over right now. But literally, I answered you on the podcast. You're looking at me right now. This is my mind.
Live
my
on Drinking Bros. Live on Drinking Bros.
I will click on that. I will click on that. So I'm sure. Goodbye. So between my mother and my very lovely manager, I've been interrupted twice. But anyway, as far as Atlanta is concerned, you know, it was a great show to be associated with. Mm. I got a chance to play basketball. I was just supposed to be there for a celebrity basketball game. And Justin Bieber was, you know, played by a black guy. It was a funny scene.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a huge fan of that show, as well as Children's Hospital.
Love Children's Hospital. That's where I worked with the funniest man I've ever worked with on a stage, and that is Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman is my comic in-person hero.
That is Dan.
That guy has a dry comedy that is just effing fire.
That is real life Dan Holloway.
Yeah, his character on Parks and Rec is basically me in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Stone cold dry. Like, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to give you that, Dan, but you could play his son.
He's got his beard is nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's very nice.
It's a real
got
nice
a super
one.
Nice beard. Yeah. You guys are going to kill me, but I got to hop off because apparently I have another interview.
No worries. Hey, tell everybody where they can find your new podcast, man.
Yes. My new podcast is called Ever After. It's former child stars who are still working in the business, having a very candid conversation about the reality of making the transition to adulthood in our business. As a matter of fact, this week we just had Danica McKellar on. Mm-hmm. So she talks about, you know, all the people who called her Winnie Cooper and all the people who called me and all of our adolescent tales in between were pretty cool. She's also a math genius. So check it out. Mm.
Yeah, she's great. You're great, man. We appreciate you stopping by today. Yeah. And dude, hit up Lakin. She'll do your show too, man.
No, I certainly will. Are you kidding me? Especially now that I know she's directing the Goldbergs. I want to talk to her about that specific transition, man. Yeah. Especially talking about females in directing. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment for her.
You got to get Fred Savage on too, right?
The soundbite of me saying, kick ass, Lakin. I appreciate that for you.
I'll text her after this show's over for sure, man.
You got to get Fred Savage on there too. He's the ultimate behind the scenes guy.
That's the OG Kevin Arnold. But Dan, I want us to drink and I want us to have like thick bacon in Austin and continue to talk politics.
I do that every day.
I like the energy we got going.
Oh yeah, dude, we love this shit. Like to be honest, it'd be hard to find people that are left, center left, that will come on a show like this and just have a conversation because everything's so combative. But we can fucking call each other assholes and then get drunk afterwards. This is America, goddammit.
I just felt like even the banter that we had, it's just like, that's really what I want for the country, man. Yeah. I want people to be able to understand that you can voice your opinion and you can say these things and you can still be tolerant and accepting of somebody else's differences, man.
100%. You know,
that's why Jordan Peterson says we can either fight with our words or we can fight with our fists. That's the choice that we have in America right now. And I guarantee you,
we
can
handle it either way, Playboy.
Yes. Way. Yeah. Yes.
We'll play one-on-one. I'm going to dunk on you. I can't dunk, but we'll figure out a way.
We'll see about that, Dan. I got to come back and do y'all show again. Hit me up, man.
For buddy. Sure. We will. Right, take thanks, care, man. Buddy. Thanks,
Julio. All right, take care, guys.
See you, dude.
Great guy.
Yeah,
great guy, man. Dude, super entertaining, as always.
He's smart. I've listened to a couple of his shows. I listened to, the one with Haley Joel Osment was really good because he took a break, I guess. I mean, it wasn't really a break. He was just kind of in relative obscurity for a while and came back with some big hits, like Future Man was huge.
Yes.
That show is, if you haven't seen that show, it is fucking hysterical. It's one of my favorite comedies, comedy series. And he's done other stuff now as well. He's writing and producing and things like that. So it's interesting to see how these people navigate through that bullshit. Because some folks just leave it all together. Like the weight of it becomes so much. It's like, fuck this. I'm going to go work at a bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I think the most famous one for me is probably Jake Ryan from 16 Candles, right? That movie in the 80s, like that was everybody's fucking dream dude. And then I think he only did that role and then just bounced and became like a farmer or a furniture builder in something like in like Virginia or something. Mm-hmm. Nobody can find him. He doesn't do any of the reunion shows with Molly Ringwald or any of that stuff. And it's strange. It's interesting to see what you make of that. When you become famous, so famous.
I mean, Molly Ringwald did the same, right?
Yeah.
She just got married and had kids and fucked off. She was
done with it. And then she finally came back to acting now. Like, it's the same thing. Like, she's doing a bunch of stuff on, like, ABC Family and everything else. I'll never forget her turning down one of the most famous stories of all time is she turned down the Pretty Woman role.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be her instead of Julia Roberts, which is...
She made the right choice.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, for America.
Yes,
because Julia Roberts in that role, you could not have done better than that.
I agree.
There's no way.
I agree. We get some sponsors, Dan, who pay for the shit wagon to be on the air. This is our Sunday night show tonight. We've been recording a few in advance. We're not really sure how the COVID stitch is actually going to shake out. Seems like some places are shutting down, and fuck, man, we'll discuss it, you know, on the sports show, obviously, but some places are shutting down. Some cities are shutting down right now. So we're trying to stack episodes in advance in case anything happens here in Austin, Texas. So forgive us. But our first one, obviously, is ghostbed.com/drinking bros. One of the finest in the land. Georgia, if you want to pop up the logos now, you can. Feel free. Feel free. All right. All right, look, we're on the fly here. Recording in advance, you know? Ghostbed.com/drinking bros. As always, 30% off. If you remember the military, a first responder, a teacher, or work in the government in this life. Otherwise, if you're just a regular dummy, you get 25% off and 2 free pillows when you get a mattress. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today and get yourself a mattress. They get a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there at ghostbed.com. Next up, we get expressvpn.com/drinking bros. Protect your digital butthole. This is the only time in this life, Dan. Are you reordering ExpressVPN right now?
Am I reordering it?
Yeah, dude.
I'm looking at the new copy
for ExpressVPN.com.
Yeah, the social dilemma copy. It's
look,
good.
Look, man, I want to hear your version of it with the social dilemma thing. Like, for me personally, everybody who's ordered ExpressVPN.com/drinking bros is always talking about the programming they're stealing from other countries.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of it. But I think
I get it all the time. I get those emails all the time.
And this one, it's not necessarily about that. It's more about if you've watched The Social Dilemma.
Yeah, 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 on Netflix, yeah.
I mean, it's gotten out of control. Maybe it was always out of control, the way these companies are able to collect and then leverage our data afterwards. And this big Spotify deal that just happened, it's all about data, right?
Yes, it has it has nothing to do with podcasts themselves. It is literally stealing the data of who is listening.
Not at all. So,
to the podcast.
You know, just for your personal safety these days, you don't have to be... The thing about crime is you don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than the other guy running next to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why people frequently buy stickers that say they have an alarm system when they really don't. Or even having a dog in the home, like for physical security. For digital security, you're not going to get anything better than ExpressVPN because for a number of different reasons. One, it masks all your private shit on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it is multi-platform, right? So you can use it on pretty much any device that you have that has any kind of connection to the internet. It pretty
iPhone,
much works on everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Laptop, all
so,
that stuff.
I mean, you got to, now's the time, man, to start paying attention to this shit. Actually, the time was years ago, but now you definitely have to, because the way things are going politically these days, it just seems like these two parties are at each other's throats one day after another. Somebody's doing this, somebody's doing this. And it's only a matter, the crazier it gets, it's only a matter of time before one of these assholes tries to use your data against you.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So, ExpressVPN.com/drinking bros.
Correct. It is $7 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get 3 months for free. We've had it forever. It runs seamlessly in the background of all your electronic devices. It is necessary at this point. Next up, we got buyraycon.com/drinking bros. Finest headphones in the land. We're talking to Sean Avery about these headphones. He loves these goddamn things. I was listening to his new show, dude.
It's good.
Not only is it great, but
he's funny as shit.
He talks about his running with the Raycons in. It's hilarious, man. Look, the best bass there is. They're durable. They're long-lasting. They recharge in a little tiny box, so you're good to go. And it lasts up to 6 hours of wireless. So right now, if you're trying to buy some wireless headphones, man, good luck. They're expensive as shit. Not at buyraycon.com/drinking bros. You get 15% off with that personalized URL and knocks them down to about $65, and they last forever. Great sounds. Go to buyraycon.com/drinking bros today and get you some headphones. Last but not least, I'm wearing this watch everywhere. VinceroWatches.com. That's VinceroWatches.com. Man, I think they're only running with us for the Christmas, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the time of year when they do most of their advertising. But these watches are fucking dope, man.
Dope. Look, I've been wearing it every day. And this one in particular, this rubberized band, man, obviously.
Yeah, it's like vulcanized rubber. But they also, like, come off. So there's this little pin right here on the bands. And you just do like this.
Yep.
And I mean, it's the easiest thing of all time to get these things on and off. You can get whatever watch face you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can buy different bands for it. You can buy different sets and stuff. I mean, these watches are great. And it's also pretty affordable. I mean, if you're thinking about going out and buying a nice watch that you're going to wear in a suit or out at a nice dinner or weddings, whatever it is.
I coach my son's soccer team.
Right.
Obviously, Blue Dragons, Team of Destiny, God's Children. We're recording this in advance. I'm coaching the championship this weekend. So I've been wearing this all throughout. I'm going to go ahead and say we've already won the championship. How about that? You'll know next week if I bring the trophy in, obviously, but I'm going to say we won the championship.
So you're going to bring your child's trophy in to our show.
Well, I get a coach's trophy. So, yes, I will bring the coach's trophy in. I will bring my child's in as well because I have a feeling they're going to be a different size. Fake Dan is shaking his head behind camera. What's the story there, Fake Dan? You don't think? I had two.
What do you mean, 28-3? Is that what you're referencing?
Two of my best players were out last week. Yes.
Oh, you didn't hear? No, I didn't hear about that. Let's finish this ad read and then we can talk about your shame.
Here's why this is important, right? So I've worn this watch all season. This has been my good luck watch. I refuse to take it off. And this is how because the kids play in quarters, not halves, because they're so young. So I time the quarters on this watch. And I've worn it the entire year. I'm not taking it off now. The VinceraWatches.com has brought me to this point of a championship. I'm on the brink of it. I'm three nights before. Again, Blue Dragons, God's Children, everything. This could be the championship watch is what I'm saying.
Well, they do have a pretty dope blue face watch.
This is what it is. I've got the blue face watch on.
There
it is. Vincero, all I'm saying is this. If I win the championship this weekend like I should.
You think they should give you a free watch?
I think not a free watch because I don't like to ask for free shit. What I'm thinking, though, is that maybe me and my son do the ad campaign and magazines and stuff like that for the watches and then just call it Vincero Watches, the Watches of Champions. So, you know, your call.
It's not a bad idea.
Your call. Go to VinceroWatches.com today and use the promo code Drinking Bros. Is it 15% off now?
Yeah.
Yes. 15% off at VinceroWatches.com. This has been my good luck charm this year. So I'm going to give them a little extra love today because I've been wearing this shit for the entire season and I feel confident about it. D'Anthony, with Jaleel. And we were talking about, favorite actors of ours.
By the way, it's free shipping as well.
Is it really?
15% off of free shipping.
Shit.
Yeah. I forgot. Sorry, I forgot about that.
VinceroWatches.com.
Sorry, Vincero.
From Drinking Bros. Free shipping on that.
Yeah.
Was there somebody growing up that was one of your favorites that you were like, hey, man, I wonder what happened to them or what went on with them?
Not really, no. I mean, I wasn't a huge TV person.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Man, I was, dude.
Like, I watched sports on TV, and I played video games, but I played baseball a lot. Like, to be honest, the majority of my childhood, I was either working at my dad's auto body shop or playing baseball.
Yeah.
Things like being outdoors and stuff. And I really enjoyed playing video games as well, but TV and stuff, I mean, it was okay. It was, for me, it was, I was watching, like, science documentaries and shit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you don't really... I guess Carl Sagan, but I know what happened to him. He died. You know what I mean? So it's not like there were TV characters that I was like really in love with, I guess, as people do, right? Like you watch the same. It feels like it's why independent media like podcasts are so popular now. You feel like you're part of the group. You're just hanging out talking. You know what
right.
I mean? So I think that was a deep relationship people had with characters on TV in the 80s and 90s. I don't think it exists anymore.
No, and I look, the crazy part about it to me is
but I did love Family Matters.
Same, man. Look, those Thursday night and Friday night programming, dude, you did not miss those every single week.
Yeah.
And it is so different now. And what he was talking about, like, man, he was correct. It's like, dude, you really did sit with your entire family, watch these shows. And then, you know, you went to bed and all that other stuff. Like, dude, because I played sports all through growing up. I played everything you could possibly play.
usually get home around 6:37, have dinner, and then we would sit from like 8 to 10 and watch this, you know, program, like these, this 4 hour, or two hour, for, you know, four half hour shows of programming. And it was all comedies on Thursday and Friday night. And we don't have that anymore. Now it's like on these weird streaming devices and all this other shit. And like for me, you know, having a 6 year old at this point, besides like the game shows they put on, like Holy Moly or things like that, like, there really isn't that thing that we sit and watch, man.
Well, I mean, they're on YouTube, so they're watching.
They are, yes.
Yeah. They're just watching. They're binge watching all the time.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because maybe they're just developing like personal relationships with these, if you want to call them actors, or at least we'll call them performers, that we wouldn't have had the opportunity to back then. Mm-hmm. But it's more of a one-on-one individual kind of thing. And it's less like Julia was talking about earlier, less of the family sitting around the TV at a certain time and day watching the same shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, it's, I don't think it's completely fractured, because anytime any of these big media events happen, like the last season of Game of Thrones or Game of Thrones in general, mm-hmm. after the first season, the hype on that show was so big. People were getting banned and unfriended and blocked and shit for leaking stuff,
right?
Because people were so serious about it, and so I think it's still there to some degree, but in mass, like there's no Thursday night CBS lineup where you're watching three or four shows right in a row
no.
with your family. That doesn't exist anymore. I don't know if it's because it's too difficult, like Jaleel was saying, to find something that everybody kind of agrees on or enjoys, since everything's so niche that. In general, much less having three or four in a row on the same network, maybe that's it. I don't know, but that seems we always have a lot more in common than we have, you know, the differences.
Sure,
I don't understand why we haven't been able to figure that part out. To be honest, like what would you think would be something other than sports or some kind of live TV event that most people would want to watch right now? You know what I mean?
Well, I was thinking about it last night, because we knew obviously Jaleel was coming on the show, and you know, the guests are typically booked a few days in advance, so you have a heads up of it. I because I watch so much sports for, you know, our show and right. everything like that, like I will try to watch things with my wife, right? Mm-hmm. So The Bachelorette is on. I know all the ladies get together and watch that mm-hmm. typically, and Mandy came over last night and she was watching it with Jesse, you know, and I popped down to watch it live and get the live reaction of how crazy it was and all this other stuff. And I was like, man, for women, this is like their sports, where this shit is happening once a week. You can't binge watch it. And everybody wants to comment on the same thing, because it gets out so fast on social media that you know the answers and everything else. But yeah, for dudes, it's more sports. HBO right now is still one of the very few networks that is doing weekly releases like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this, in the last year, besides Atlanta, because I'm a gigantic Atlanta fan,
yeah, same.
We talked about earlier, but that Lil Dicky show,
yeah,
was the
Dave is great.
Dave,
yeah,
was the one that I set my watch to, and I was like, all right, when is this coming on live? Great, I'm gonna watch this live. It was on Thursday nights and all that stuff. But before that, I was like, ah, shit,
Yellowstone too.
Yes,
I think that's a big one.
Yes,
yeah. I'm actually surprised when I hear somebody say they don't like or watch Yellow. I mean, Brittany and I all the time, we're like, hey, you know, we should just go watch. We should just not do anything this weekend. Just watch this whole goddamn series again.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
Yeah.
But she's got PTSD because she's worried that Beth Dutton is dead.
Right? Dude, we're not going to give away the ending, but.
Well, there's no, we don't know yet until season three, or yeah, until season three comes out, season four, whatever it is, comes out, we won't know.
The way that was set up in season three, it could have been everybody died.
Yeah. We have no idea who's alive or dead, which is a very Dallas move on their part. Like Yellowstone is basically it's a more realistic version of Dallas. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like,
yes.
It really is. And it's one of the best shows on TV. But again, you don't have to. You can just get the Paramount app or whatever the fuck it is, or watch it on Amazon Prime. I don't have to be somewhere at a certain time to see it. I can watch it whenever, wherever I want.
I will say this. I tried the one thing the Paramount app did, though, was they held back the new episodes for
a day. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you were fucking screwed. So you just got to
fucking ignore the internet for a day.
Basically. I had to go into the DVR and then record it if I was going to leave or whatever. And yeah, that was one of them. But man, that you're talking about a handful. Like, dude, that it was no lie with the VCR tape where you just put in the 6-hour tape, let it record, and then come back and watch it. I used to do that all the time for Saturday Live because I was a big SNL guy, obviously. Yeah. And yeah, man, then you got to fast forward for 2 hours, find the show, and then.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, I feel like you probably touched on something that's correct earlier when you said that's why they're remaking all these movies, because you're trying to make something that you already know appeals to one of the groups. Mm-hmm. You want to make that thing appeal to the other group as well, right? So I don't know if it's working. Honestly, I don't know anybody that watches Fuller House.
My kids do. So like, you know, when that came out, but they didn't know what
the, I don't know any adults that watch it.
Correct. Right. But they didn't know what the real one was. So like, that's a strange thing. I just saw the trailer for, the new Saved by the Bell, which
I didn't know that was happening.
I didn't either. And it,
who's in it?
All of the original people and then a new cast of kids. Right. And it sounded like an absolute disaster nightmare that I was like, please don't do this. But then
I don't get it. What are they, what's the,
trailer drops. So they're going back to they're adults. I think Elizabeth Berkley is a teacher. I believe they're all teachers at the high school or something like that. That seems like the premise. And then they've got a new crop of kids. Mm. But when the trailer dropped, cause I was getting ready to just be like, fuck you guys. This is the first thing I'm going to scream at. It's written by the people of 30 Rock. So it was really fucking good, that trailer.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. And it was really funny and self-aware.
Dustin Diamond's not going to be on it.
No. And he's got his own problems.
Yeah. And well, so does Voorhees.
Yeah, Lark Voorhees.
Lark Voorhees. She's wild as fuck too. So I don't think that's going to.
Lark is going through the Sammy Sosa phase of her life where she is whitening her skin. If you saw her, she looks like Giorgio. And it would, they're about the same skin tone.
Well, speaking of. Of that,
Dustin Diamond now went to prison. He stabbed somebody.
Oh, did he really?
And then he did pornography.
Well, I knew that he did porn. I didn't know he had stabbed somebody.
You know who his brother is, right?
Diamond Dallas Page.
No.
The wrestler.
No. Even better, actually.
No, I don't.
Michael Diamond?
I don't know who that is.
Beastie Boys.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Mike D.
Mike D is his brother?
Isn't that crazy, man?
I honestly had
Mike
no idea.
Imagine you're Mike D and you're one of the coolest groups of all time and your brother's fucking Screech. You know?
Well... what are you gonna do?
Yeah, but he did porn. Look, he dabbled in porn for a while, and then you know, ended up stabbing somebody and went to jail for, I want to say, like 2 years.
Well, Britney Spears lost her conservatorship battle this week too.
Hashtag free Britney, dude. Yeah. I knew she would. I follow her Instagram because I think she's the first celebrity to die.
Man, she's
go that, follow her that, her Instagram. Dude.
That
it's
poor
her
woman.
Dancing.
It makes you. I know. I've seen it. Yeah. I can't follow it because it would just be too depressing. But it is fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
There's a reason she lost her conservatorship. I will say that.
So. Oh, I guess Lark Voorhees is going to be on an episode.
Is she really good? Good for her.
The only person.
Because I don't know. What happened to her necessarily rather than the skin bleaching, but you know, who knows? I don't want to pass judgment on
the series will center around a new group of Bayside High students from quote unquote overprivileged and working class families, among the latter of which were transferred to the school as part of a plan by now California Governor Zach Morris. Whose administration experiences controversy for closing too many low income high schools. So the entire premise of the show is to put wealthy white people with poor black people, and then that this is going to be terrible.
No, watch the trailer, man. It is written by the writers of 30 Rock, and it was really funny.
If they let them write it, then it will do well. But will they let them write it? Because the writers of 30 Rock, I mean, as liberal and crazy as some of these people are, they wrote like super fucking. Edgy shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they did blackface twice on that show.
Yeah.
And they did whiteface, but he had a monster claw because he ran out of white paint.
Obviously.
I mean, what else are you going to do? But yeah, they've taken a lot of risk over there. Made a lot of fucked up jokes from race stuff, rape, drugs, whatever the fuck, terrorism. I mean, they've done all kinds of wild shit. I don't think they're going to be able to get away with any of this.
We will find out. What I will say is this. It is on streaming, so they don't have to worry about advertisers, at least, because NBC is going streaming, as are all these networks. They're going to be called the Peacock. Mm. So you'll be able to get the Peacock app. I think you can already, but one of the things was they cast older kids to play high schoolers, which is always my favorite. That'll never, ever get old to me.
Like 25-year-olds in high school.
That's great, dude. That's the way hilarious. It should be.
So this is interesting that Zach Morris is the governor of California.
Yeah.
A.C. Slater, he's a gym teacher.
Yeah, he is.
You fucking kidding me?
A.C. Slater looks the same, though.
He does, yeah. He could still play himself, I think.
I know.
And they all have kids. Like, Elizabeth Berkeley has one of her kids is at the school. One of Zach Morris's kids. It could be good, but I mean, I just
watch the trailer. That's
I don't trust comedies, man.
That's all I'll say.
I don't trust comedies to be comedy anymore.
No, I'm curious to see if they remake Family Matters,
especially with all these new shows that are coming out, like that fucking Austin Fire or whatever the fuck that is, that bullshit with Rob Lowe. It's just like
the 911 show. Yeah,
and the same thing where Homeboy is the sheriff's deputy in L.A. He's the sheriff in L.A. It's just fucking nonsense, dude. They do everything they can to wedge divisive issues in and try to make some moral conclusion every time. Like, this isn't – that's not entertaining to anybody.
No.
Like, being preachy, like, writing from the pulpit like that is – it puts at least a bad taste in people's mouth, regardless of how they feel about something. People don't need to be told over and over by some asshole how to think and feel.
I agree.
You know what I mean? I assume this show will go that way. Probably.
Yeah, right? We'll find out. I'm curious to see. The one thing that I would like to fight for at home is they are shooting a TV show in Austin, Texas. I would like to get Dan Holloway on this TV show.
What's the show?
In Austin, Texas. It's another remake. It's another reboot. It is, are you ready for it? Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, really?
Is coming back. It's
who's playing him?
One of the dudes from Supernatural, Jared Padalecki. Mm,
yeah.
I believe he's playing Walker, Texas Ranger, but I'd like to see you in that as a bad guy. I think that'd be great.
So just be myself is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. When they are shooting, I would like to have a hashtag get Dan Holloway on Walker, Texas Ranger, and see you there.
Well, that dude lives here, doesn't he? And his brother live like up near Lakeway or some shit like that, I think, somewhere.
He lives up there, and he's got a bar downtown.
Yeah.
But I don't know the name of it. And then his co-star Jensen, who's my homie back in the day, he lives here as well, and they've got a brewery up kind of in the Dripping Springs area called Family Brewery, says. But he's shooting a show in fucking Vancouver. Both those guys, man. It's like, dude, after 15 years of one-hour drama, you want to go shoot more TV? It's crazy to me. Crazy to me. Look, thanks for tuning into the show. We're going to see what happens with all this COVID shit. Obviously, we will try to be here with you every single day. I don't know what happens if they shut down Austin or if they are talking about that. Most of the cities are. I doubt they will with Austin, right? We are essential, yes, as podcasts. So,
well, I mean, look, if
is that what they said?
Okay. Maybe, but... Well, what it means is that it's going to court very soon because there's already been a ruling in federal court in Pennsylvania that you can't just shut down people's businesses and shit.
Right.
So that'll as soon as phase three happens, if it happens again, there will be a litany of federal lawsuits that happen really quickly, and then somebody will try to jump in. It might be the Justice Department. It may be somebody else that tries to jump in and consolidate all that to turn it into one complaint. Right. Mm-hmm. So they can field it, or the Supreme Court will look over all the complaints and decide which one to take and which one not to. You know what I mean? They just pick the one that they feel has the best standing usually and might be the most pervasive if they do decide on one thing or another. But I mean, the federal courts have ruled already, and so is the state Supreme Court in Michigan.
Right.
You can't shut people's businesses down, man. I mean, you can require masks and all this other shit, but you can't do that.
The one thing to watch for here is when Biden gets in, is the mandatory mask thing for the nation. I'm not sure how you enforce that, you know, legally, with the Supreme Court and everything. But that's the one thing that I'm curious to see as to what happens. But you know, Dan and I will try to be with you every single day. Podcasts have been deemed essential, so we should be able to keep going every single day. You know, obviously we're worried about Giorgio getting COVID from a Tinder or Grindr date, but nothing we can do about that, right? We're not going to stop him from getting his dick sucked on the reg. Like, that's just not a thing in this life. Never. Never. You'll beat it, dude, by the way. You're weaker than me, but yeah, maybe. Maybe. Everybody in North Carolina had to have had it when I came back, I would imagine. Who knows? either way. Yeah, fake Dan, have you had it? Oh, okay. Shit.
AIDS.
Shit. AIDS. Yeah.
AIDS. By the way, there's only one law in the federal books that could even be leveraged to make people wear masks. And just for you guys out there, so you know in advance, the biggest provision of that law is that there's a religious exemption. So we'll just start a new religion that prohibits masks. And
I like it.
You can suck my dick.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, somebody approaching me with a rattlesnake wrapped around their wrist.
Mm.
And it was from the Seventh Day Adventists. Mm. So, yes, after I met that human in my life, I can say you can make up any religion you want with snakes and that they have healing power.
Well,
they do.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. For D'Anthony and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. It'll help move us on up the charts, and subscribe to Drinking Bros Podcast on YouTube. Good night, everyone.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.